Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Talam, your host and engineer for tonight's show. We want to welcome you to the Science of Health and You. We want to start off tonight a very special time that we have going on in the world today. We are currently in what we call a community health crisis. And we need to untangle the diabolical scheme to enslave the minds of African-American people to mental servitude. So we have to come face to face with this reality. And tonight's show provides us with that opportunity. As you know, we had many shows over the last couple of weeks pertaining to mental health issues and what's wrong with the thinking process of our communities and why all these things are taking place. And we realized that we need a large-scale strategy to expose the key components of this wicked system and this scheme that's taking place. And history has demonstrated what we need to do, and it is make a change in our lives. A lot of us are concerned about education, politics, economics, social issues, and those things have really put a burden on the minds of the people over the last few years here, especially with the pandemic and all the things that have taken place. And we, as we look into our psychological information that's been provided to us over the last couple of years, they're telling us it worries at an epidemic pace in this country, stress, anxiety, fear, financial instabilities. Our residential lives have been affected, education. And we have experienced some of the worst times mentally in this country. And I think you can see that in all activities, how people are acting strangely, like they never acted before. What's going on? We know that 80% of the community, as we see it today, is deficient mentally. What is wrong and what is taking place in our country that is affecting us at such an alarming rate? We're going to deal with some of that tonight. And as you know, the science of health in you really focuses in on you, focuses in on who you are, what you are, the science, what your mental makeup, your physical and your spiritual makeup is. And we try to address that through root-based therapeutics, which is the science of health and understanding cells, understanding that we have issues with our cells and not understanding how they work. And we try to focus in on the living cells. Our program focuses solely on the well-being of the living cells and what we need to do to achieve the emphasis on cell nourishment and blood sanitation and regular cell maintenance. So I want to open up tonight's show with just a few words and talk about this crisis that we are now experiencing. And as you all know, we do have a crisis, and this crisis is something that we have to really, really begin to pay attention to. We have epidemics in almost everything, bad air, bad quality of food, bad immune systems, HIV, AID, hepatitis, diabetes, all these cholesterol issues and tumors and strokes and things that we are experiencing today. We have to begin to ask ourselves this question, and that question is, what's wrong? And I hate to use that question. I like to say, what happened to us? Because that's basically the focus of what's taking place, is something happened. And why we're going to focus in on trauma today, we're going to focus in on the mindset and all those types of things that we know for a fact has a response to our stressful events in our lives. So what is going on? And this is one of the areas we're going to concentrate on today, the events, the experiences, and the effects of what's taking place in the lives of human beings in this country, in particular, our particular community. We have to be concerned about that. We have to be concerned about the way we think, how we think. We have to be concerned about our children. So our focus has to be on how do we leave our children? What do we share with our children? How do we answer those questions that our children may ask us about what's taking place? Trauma is becoming increasingly recognizable, and it's having an impact on our health, on our behavior, and all social aspects of our lives. So today we're going to be really, really succinct, right to the point, matter of fact. And we have a guest on tonight who's going to author of a book that we want to open up here in a few minutes. And Abu Shaheed is on the line as well. And we're going to deal with some of these mental problems, some of the issues pertaining to why we find ourselves in these situations other than food. We have been focusing on the food and how it has affected our lives. And we know that it has a lot to do with everything. But at the same time, there's a psychological effect that we have to address. We have to find that balance. Let's eliminate this hopelessness, these isolations with these social media programs and things that are taking place in our lives, allowing ourselves to be affected by television and images and all those types of concerns that we find ourselves not knowing what to do. And there's a lot of confusion taking place, more so with our children. And that's my biggest concern tonight. What is wrong with these acute trauma situations, these chronic trauma situations, these multiple events that keep happening to us, and the environmental changes that take place? So with that, I want to open up with our guest speaker today. He's an author, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to tell you who he is, but he is an individual who has wrote 3 books. And he is an author, an African-American author and griot. He writes stories about the heartbeat of the African-American community in our culture. And the books that we're going to talk about today, and quite frankly, we're not going to talk about one particular book, but the one that we're going to talk about is the scheme, uncovering the scheme to preventing the evolution of African-American culture. And I hope that he prayed that he share with us some of the other books that he wrote, which is The Success is Automatic. It's one of the books that he wrote. The Spirit of Bilal, The Community is Born, Calling the World to Humanity, Calling the World to Human Excellence. And so these particular books, I want you guys to just take a minute out and pick up the telephone and call a friend, a neighbor, get your son, your daughter, your grandchild on the telephone tonight, because you're in for a special treat. The capacity to grasp information, the research that has been done, the powerful information that's going to be provided to you tonight is probably going to change your life. So get your pen and pad together. There's nothing reason with your inability, your ability to perceive and think, and just relax a little bit and just concentrate, take a deep breath, and get ready for a whirlwind of information that, quite frankly, I think is so powerful that will be fascinating and intriguing about the African-American community, who we are, what we are, and some of the issues that has us in the state of mind, the situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in right now. We got to find out what really happened to us, not what's wrong with us, but I always refer to what happened. And what happened is so unique and so different, and most of us really don't even know what happened. It's all right to say that you don't know, and I want you to think about this. We don't know. We really don't know. So the bottom line here, I'm going to get right to the point. I'm going to bring on our guest speaker for tonight's show, and I want you, Brother Shahid Abdullah, to tell us who you are, give us a little bit of background information. I'm going to allow you the opportunity to explain what you do, what you're doing. Especially, I want you to get into your program on SOS, Strategies of Success. So we're going to try to package this in a way that it ties right into what we've been talking about all along, why we are functioning the way we are. And then we have Abdul Shahid, I know you're on the line, and we want to make sure you come in and you have an opportunity to blend in, and I hope and pray that we all get a good understanding tonight, that we all have an opportunity to really learn something. This is an opportunity to change your life. And so I would like to drop the mic, as they say, and bring on our brother, the author of Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. Shahid Abdullah, Assalamu alaikum, and Abdul Shahid, you're on the phone as well. So both of you are on. We're going to start off with our author tonight. And please chime in whenever you have an opportunity or one opportunity. We want you to take about 30, 40 minutes just to share. And those of you who may have some questions, we want you to please be prepared to press 1 on your phone, because I know you're going to have some questions tonight. I'm going to reserve my questions because I can talk to them anytime I want to. But I want you to have a chance to dig deep into your own soul, into your own mind. And as we said before, the focus here is changing the way we think. And you can only do that unless you know what it is that you need to change. So with that, Brother Shahid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, my good brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Rashid. I'm very, very can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
I'm very glad, brother, to be on your program this evening. And I consider it an absolute honor. And I want to thank you and your listening audience, too, for allowing me a few minutes just to explain some of the things that I found out and some of the things I would like to talk about and share with you. First of all, my name is Shahid Abdullah. I'm the African Bilalian American Griot, and during the course of this evening, I'll be able to explain some of that to you. I want to talk with you this evening about some of the things I found out, because my background sort of led me to this. I have a degree in sociology and education, so there are some of the aspects that led me to do a little research. So I began researching years ago when I first came out of college. I used to draw and paint a lot, but I did some researching and just try to find out exactly what was going on because it's important for us to have the knowledge of the time, the knowledge of the time we're in. When we can gain some knowledge of that time, then we can begin to operate smoother. So as I got out of college and did some other things, played a little sports, a little football, and then I became a financial planner and thought about becoming a artist, a professional artist, drawing and painting, did some work in that area. But what caught my attention most, my interest, was the stories of the past, the stories of our people, how that came into existence, what events took place to bring about the present situation. Those things interest me most, and I sort of gravitated to that, and I couldn't really stay away from it. Although I went to different aspects, I joined the Nation of Islam in 67, and after that, in around about 66, and around that time, I was getting an understanding of what the culture was about. I didn't have a grasp on it then because too many pieces were still loose in the atmosphere. At the time, we were thinking about, and the Nation of Islam was thinking about nationhood, and at the other time, outside of the Nation of Islam, we had the Black Panther Party going. Then we had the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Then we had Martin Luther King. Had several things coming together at a particular time in our history. So I sort of conditioned myself to say, let me focus. Let me focus on what's most important to me, what's more important to my interest, what I want to look at. And that became the Nation of Islam because it talked about nationhood. It talked about nation. And I was interested in cultural development and cultural aspects. So that was as close as I could get to that and at that particular time. And so I gravitated to that. And when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed and Imam Muhammad became the leader of the Nation of Islam, he began to focus on culture. He one of his first essays to us was about questionnaire. It was culture was one of the aspects he wanted us to look at. What was culture? And over the years, he began to bring the community into a particular understanding about religion that didn't really exist anywhere else on the planet. It was a verification of the African-American community coming into fullness because our understanding of religion was growing from Nat Turner all the way up to the present. It changed. We got an idea and an example. And this helped me quite a bit to begin to focus. And so I focused and I guess around 2002, around that time, I started to focus a little more on write books and develop books. And one of the things caught my attention, pretty much what you were saying today, Brother Rashid, when you talked about that we were in the crisis, what this crisis is going on in the community of the African-American people. And usually a crisis, when you want to solve a crisis or a problem, you have to go to the root. This is the way scientists do. Scientists look at a situation and they know that there's some things they can do to guess how to make it work, but they have to go to the root of the problem in order to root it out and cure it. And this is where my attention sort of gravitates to the root, not just the crises, but to the root of the crisis. Where did the crisis for food, eating, where did the crisis for clothes, where did the crisis for our relationship with other people come from? What caused this crisis to evolve? And that was probably the greatest aspect that pushed me in the direction in which I have been traveling in the last so many years. What I would like to do, Brother Rashid, is to
yes, sir.
Give an open explanation or open concept of what culture and the importance of it. In fact, I start my book off with this, my first chapter called Lurking. I begin the first line, culture is a distinct social system that holds its people together. It is a cumulative deposit of knowledge, language, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, meanings, hierarchies, in other words, the positioning of within that structure, religion, notions of time, roles, spatial relationships, concepts of the universe, and material objects and possessions acquired by its people over the course of generations through individuals and groups striving. See, that definition of culture, it sort of like takes is a clinical definition, but it covers every culture that ever came into existence in the world. And these are the key elements of those cultures. And everything else, you see their clothes and the food they eat is an expression of that culture. See, there's an expression. The clothes you wear are an expression of culture. The food you eat are an expression of culture. The culture is what produced the people and produced them in a way that they learn their roles and they learn what's important for them in their religion, in their thinking. This culture produces that. It serves as a womb for progress as it gives birth to a people and put them on the path of prosperity. This is the birthright of a culture.
I'm telling you, that right there really tells you a lot. You know, a lot of times most of us don't really know what culture really is. We think in terms of a little bit about religion and so forth and so on, a little bit about this, a little bit about that. But to combine it in the way you just explained it, which is an excellent demonstration of an explanation of what culture really is. So with that in mind, you know, as we don't have culture in a manner, in the way that we should have, can you package this for us? Can you show the relevance of how that affects our thinking process? And the fact that by not knowing, how do we continue our lives by not knowing who we are, what we are, then what we need to be doing to get to the point where we need to get to, because our legacy, I think, right now is being affected by it. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yes, I would do my very best to bring that information to you and give the whole aspect of it. And I would like to remind everyone to, it's important to hear what I'm saying and grasp the words and grasp the meaning of the words. But it's also very, very important to understand where I'm coming from, where this information is coming from. What is causing this to come alive? It's very important for us to see information, see knowledge in that perspective, to have that viewpoint about knowledge. This is the birthright. Culture is the birthright. The birthright is produced by the culture. This is coming alive. This coming to existence is the birthright. It shapes and it promotes the people for the destination. It gives the same life-giving determination that a mother uses in nourishing her child is the value of a culture. And to answer some of the aspects that you were mentioning, not since the greatness of Timbuktu has there been any descendants of Africa who stood in the same position or stood in this tremendous position as the African-American culture in America. Now, there's a reason I say that, and because it shows evidence. In the past, we have had African cultures who have been very wealthy and very knowledgeable and outstanding in history. But the longevity is what we're looking at here. We're looking at the longevity. What about the African-American culture has the power to take it into the future and to a fullness and not be overwhelmed by another culture or not be overwhelmed by another philosophy, not be overwhelmed by something else that brings it or takes it apart? That's where we are today. We're in the process of today, something else trying to take the African-Americans culture apart, trying to abort the evolution of the African-American culture. We are evolving. And the elements that are trying to abort our evolution has two things in mind. One, because wealth is flowing through the African-American community like a river of gold. It's moving the wealth in our community, whether we understand that or not, or whether we see it or not, is moving steadily through our community continuously. And that well, and that river of gold is eager to give life to our community, eager to build a thriving community, prosperity and progress. That's that wealth that's going through our community right now because we are budding culture. But most unfortunately, as we suggested, that standing on the sidelines or at the threshold, unfortunately for this up-and-coming culture, sitting on the banks of the river are financial and political predators. Now, most of us have been conditioned to think one thing of a predator and another. I heard of Clinton, when she was running for president, she said she identified African Americans, some youth African Americans, as super predators. And what she was doing was throwing the attention away from the real predators in our community. The predators, the political and financial predators, they are people who will want money and power at the risk of anything, life, and whatever it takes, they want to do this. They're able to devour the value of the African American culture. I have a problem with my phone. Can you still hear me, Brother Rashid? Brother Rashid.
Yeah, we hear you very well.
Okay. And what they're doing, they're implementing a large scale systematic plan by rooting the wealth out of our culture. They want to root the wealth out of our culture, and at the same time, by with rooting, not just come in and just rob us like you a bank hold up or something of that nature. No, they want to do it undetected. They want to take the money out when we think things are going good for us. They're really going bad for us. When we think we are making progress, we're really going backwards. They want to keep that kind of attitude going, and this is a similar behavior, like in the animal kingdom, for example. In the animal kingdom, you have predators. Like, for example, you have lions are predators of rodents. They eat rodents and wolves. I mean, lions eat zebras, and wolves eat rodents. These are predators. Now, for man, the eating of flesh is not a common behavior, although we have heard about cannibalism in the history, but it's not a common thing. The killing and eating of human beings is unnatural. It's an unnatural behavior for the humans. For humans, it is a corruption of moral values. And this is where it really, really, really is important for us to look at the past of the behavior of people, the corruption of moral value. The human being takes on the predatorial spirit by choice. And this consequence, the predator refers to a person or group who chooses to ruthlessly exploit others. And this is what's been going on. This is not just a black and white thing. This is not a Chinese and Japanese thing. This is not a African and Eastern thing. This is a reality that occurs in the human being. And we are part of this in this modern day time. They're driven by the spirit. People are driven. The greed and abuse of power, it drives them. They're driven by this. They look for people to use them, to control them, to bring harm with them in some kind of way. This is the nature of the predator, the financial and political predator in our environment. You only can identify them by their behavior because they are very, very shrewd and they're very, very intelligent. In fact, you remember a little while back, Bernie Murdoch. Bernie Madoff, who was the chairman of the NASDAQ stock exchange.
Yes. Yes,
he took
sir.
A $5,000 penny fund, stock fund, and he used it and manipulated people and made them believe they were going to get a great deal more wealth. He used it to take what they had. And in 2008, Madoff was charged and he pleaded guilty to running the largest Ponzi scheme on record for at least two decades. He defrauded investors out of over $60 billion. At $60 billion, he defrauded the people out of that, innocent people. Now, he didn't deny it because this is what he did. He was a predator. He was a predator, and he didn't back up off of that. That was the way he, that's just one example. A more graphic example of a predator is pretty much like that story written by Abraham Stoker. You remember the story about Dracula, called the living dead, where he slept during the daylight, and at night he would come out, and him and his father would drink the blood of the living. Well, that's a concept. See, that's a concept written by Stoker talking about the behavior of the financial predator. He was doing it in symbolic terms. The financial predator, under the disguise of gaining wealth, of causing people to get more wealth, he uses that and robs them. He uses that and take everything they can and sometimes leave them absolutely broke, absolutely broken financially and spiritually. Now, that's what we have in the world. Now, that's not a new thing. This is something we need to realize as people, what we're up against. We need to know what it is that we're up against and how we can best manipulate and be able to move forward. This is not something new. The financial predators, they use religion, they use culture, they use education, they use business, they use government as a tool to implement and evolve their objectives. While this practice is, as I said, it can be traced back to ancient times in many, many countries. It is in Europe where we got to find much of this. In fact, if we look at ancient times, you look at the story about coming of age. This story was coming of age in Cain and Abel. Goes back as far as that story, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Cain is the predator. Abel is the one with good conscience, moral conscience. Then the story goes on and on and on through histories. If you go in any language, any culture, you will find similar stories. You even find this in the Chinese philosophy and the yin and yang theory. The yin and yang theory, where yin is the negative, dark, and feminine. Yang is positive, bright, and masculine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, the idea here is that the interaction is to maintain harmony in the universe, to influence everything within it. These two things must exist, according to this Chinese philosophy. So you see that this idea of good and evil exists. You see that this idea of Cain killed Abel, not just in biblical stories, but in historical stories, in kingdoms, in Africa, in Egypt, in China. All of them have these different stories of good and evil. And what it boils down to is that there is a nature that the human being acquires, which is only in animal existence, the animal kingdom, and that nature is the predatorial nature. And we can best find this predatorial spirit working in man in Europe. This is where it sort of like took root, because Europe came into a certain knowledge and understanding about how to develop, how to grow themselves. Europe is a country that grew out of the cold, short growing seasons. Food was scarce. Everything was sort of like a dog-eat-dog kind of concept. That's the kind of thing Europe was in constantly, not just for 5 years, 10 years, ever since man migrated out of Africa up through that area and got into Europe. They had that kind of life, and it was very difficult for them to come backwards because the countries that established themselves and the cultures that established themselves that they left out of was pretty much keeping them from coming back in because they didn't want that type of characteristics back into the area of Africa or China, the different parts of the world. But they still did business there. So, but Europe became a very aggressive country. The cultures in Europe, the German, the French, all of them became very aggressive. And that aggressive nature was to survive. And they didn't really, it wasn't a curse. Some people might want to say, well, Europeans are cursed. No, it's not a curse. It's that the European, there was a purpose for this. The European was living in Europe, having a tough time in Europe, growing this very aggressive nature, protecting the food they had and building their homes out of stone and keeping out the weather and keeping out enemies. And all of that built a type of mentality. And that cultural mentality, it grew. And that cultural mentality, as it grew, and they were then given the opportunity to come out of Europe through Portugal was the first company to really come out of Europe. Country to come out of Europe, and they begin to go down the coast of Africa and steal people, African people, and bring them back to Europe and sell them for slaves. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of this predatorial spirit, this predatorial nature coming out of Europe. And out of Europe, like a swarm of locusts, they migrated into the world, consuming everything in their path. This may sound like a very harsh reality, but it is a reality, and it's one we need to look at. And in order to cure what we have, the problem we have today, we have to know what is the root cause. Right. We have to look at that root cause and be able to move past it, because there are a lot of problems that the European people caused. There's a lot of good that the European people caused. All we want to deal with are the problems. The good is, at any other country or any other people, the good is the good. Good takes care of itself. It trumps itself. But it's the things that causes problems with other people. It's what we have to eliminate, not only in the European way of thinking, but in our way of thinking. We have to think of the European differently than we have been thinking of the European. We have to start changing the way we talk. We have to start changing the way we talk to each other. And the way we talk to each other, we need to realize that the European American is not a white man.
Okay.
Not only he is not a white man, there's no such thing as a white man. People come from place of origin. If you look at somebody and they look Chinese, you know they come from that country. You look at somebody, they look Japanese, you know what part of the world they come from. Hawaii, you know what part of the world. Eskimos, you know what part of the world. People take on the characteristics of the land. The biological makeup of the human being comes from the substance of the earth. You have your program to talk about food and talk about the how food affects the human being. Well, this is the beginning of understanding place of origin, because the food makes up the genetic makeup of the human being, and that causes us to either look like what we look like as a group and have certain apparatus with our arms and legs and certain types of things we can do and certain kinds of avenues we can go down with this type of characteristic dealing with our physical makeup. You look at the Watusi. Watusi, 6'11 to 7 feet tall. a neighboring tribe next to them, a neighboring people next to them, the Pygmies. Their average height is about 4 feet, 4 feet six, four at the height. They're tall if they're 4'6". And they're living in the same area. So it's something in the earth, in the area where people live, that if they accumulate more of one aspect than another, they grow biologically in a certain way. This makes up the biological makeup of human beings. We all are different because we all evolve from different parts of the world.
Okay.
The important
thing is
to see the one point here. One important thing to see, not to cut you off, brother. You are the moderator of the program. One point I just wanted to make is that the European American is not a white man. That was a trick that was played on the colonies back in the colonial time by the British. The British had a problem with uprisings and with the working class people, the European, the African, and the Native American. They all were banded together and continued to come against the number one governor was Berkeley, who was in Jamestown, Virginia. And they would come against him, and Nathaniel Bacon, who was the leader of the revolutionary groups or the whatever you want to call them in terms of coming against the government or the governing bodies of that time, he and his people ran the governor out of Jamestown, burned Jamestown down. And before he could do more damage, he died of a disease. He lasted about a year. But the concept spread all into Maryland and other places. So when the British finally got back into the colonies, sailed from England back to the colonies, the Bacon had already passed. So it took them about 3 to 4 years to weed out all of the small groups that had band together to come against the leading or the governor of the colony. And in that time, the governor got together with the British authorities and decided to use a divide and conquer process. They said they wanted to label the European colonists as white. They want to tag them as white people. And if you tagged as a white person, you're not subject to slavery. And if you're tagged as a white person, you have rights. You can bear arms. You can marry who you want. You can vote. You could do all the things that British people normally would do. You were British-like. This, if you were tagged as a white person. And those of you who get around a lot, you know that's even true today. A person could come in from India, could be the darkest African over here, and they were still on his passport to say white, because that means he has privileges. He has privileges that people that are not white don't have. This is a trick that was played all the way back to colonial time. The problem with that is that it affects the psychology and the psyche of the African-American people. Because we still, in our mind, we see white as being right. We see white as being the boss. We see white as being ahead. We see white as being the power. We see white as making decisions. We see white. When the word white is mentioned, our nature go into a subservient position. Our thinking, our ideas, our concepts take second place. If we say something to one another, to see if it's to verify the truth of it, we have to go to what we call the white man, because we don't believe each other. We don't believe each other. We don't believe we have the authority to make decisions that would benefit us in a great way. This is the psychology that's in the mind of the people. Now, just like the mind, this is not something easy to get rid of, because on the other hand, African Americans call themselves black. Now, what does black mean? Black is the opposite of white. If white is good, black has to be bad. You don't need a degree to understand that simple analysis. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, but it happens automatically in the mentality of the people. It happens in the mind. It happens in the deep confines of the mind, back down there in what they call the hippocampus where all the impulses are stored. And those impulses are stored there so you can have a response to the outer world, so that you can come from your memory tank, which is the hippocampus of the every little impulse that ever came into your thinking, whether you saw it, whether you touched it, whether you smelt it, whether you tasted it, whatever it is, that impulse is stored in the hippocampus. Now, you can't go in the hippocampus and erase that. If you do that, you're going to end up with Alzheimer's. That's what they call Alzheimer's, the fact that you can't remember no more. But you can't do that. But what we have to do is the same thing you would do with the computer and other things. You can't delete these impulses. But what you can do, you can rewrite the program. You can reprogram yourselves. I've seen this kind of thing myself. I've seen it visually. You can reprogram yourself. You can reprogram yourself to stop thinking of European Americans as white people. We must get that out of our thought, that they're not white people. They are European. European American, German American, Irish American, Italian American, whatever American they want to call themselves, that's who they are. And once we can get our minds thinking like that and get our children thinking like that and their children thinking like that, then this concept of white supremacy leaves automatically. It just disappears. It dissipates in the thin air of unreal things. But until we make it unreal by not even acknowledging it, by not even thinking of it as being something that exists in the reality, it has a hold on us. But we have to get to that point. We have to get to the point where we can start talking with each other in those terms. And when we speak to each other, we should never use the term white people when we refer to European American. That's what they are. And the word white carries with it this concept of I'm better than you. I'm better. You know, there's a concept in religion where Shaitan or Satan says to the creator, I'm better than them. That's arrogance. See, that's what that word is built on. That word is built on the same concept that Shaitan has in the religious text of saying, I'm better than them. Meaning when God created man, he told all the angels and all of the creation to look at his great man that he created and bow down. And everything did except Shaitan. You see, and that concept, that whiteness carries that with it. This I am better. I am better. Right. And you notice usually European Americans don't like to give up that word white. And they be poorer than the African American. They be more ignorant than the African American. They be way behind in knowledge in the African American and way behind in asset. But because they can call themselves white, they feel they're better than the African American. We have to get rid of that thinking. That's part of the root cause of the crisis you see in the world today in the African-American community. That's a huge part of the crisis. And until we get rid of that in our own mind, our own thinking, we're not going to be able to do a lot with the crisis.
Right. Every time I was going to ask you a question, you answered it with the things that you were talking about. Because one of the concerns I've had, by the way, I just want to welcome those who came on just a few minutes ago to IWDM Radio. This is the Science of Health in You, and we're still dealing with the mental health crisis in our communities as well as in this country. And this lab is designed to discuss a wide array of self-care initiatives for optimal health. And when you start talking about the hippocampus, it kind of tied right into some of the things that we've already talked about. So before I open up with some questions, I know that Abdul Shaheed may have. I just want to let everybody know, those of you who have a question or who want to ask our guest about what he's talking about, information pertaining to culture and so forth and so on, please just push one on your phone and you'll raise your hand in the queue and we'll have an opportunity for you to ask a question. But Abdul Shaheed, I know you're on the line, and he's falling right in line with what we've been talking about when it comes to the thinking processes of the human mind.
the hippocampus, and all the things that you've been sharing with us, and how food interferes with that ability to function. So this culture information he's talking about, and I want him, as soon as you ask a few questions or open the floor for some other thing, I want him to talk about this one thing. Now that we know the scheme, now how do we uncover the scheme, and what should we be doing? And more importantly, I'm concerned about our children, because if we don't stop this bleeding, our children will still fall in the same situation, the same circumstance that we find ourselves in. And what I'm hearing today is we don't even know that we don't know, because the stories that he just told about how things taking place and what's white, what's not, what's right, what's this, it begins to kind of coalesce and come together in a historical aspect of what we're going to have to do to change our lives, just like what we're going to have to do to change our eating habits for better thinking, better sanitation, better cleansing. We have a lot of work to do, but I think we have to start with the things that he's talking about right now. So, Abdul Shaheed, if you have any questions for our guests, yes, please make sure you get your points across as we move forward. Abdul Shaheed is our guest for the School of Symptometry.
Assalamu alaikum, yes, brother Shaheed Abdullah. How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam.
We certainly appreciate your contribution to our community and the information that you shared tonight as well. I have a couple of questions, and one question in particular, and here it is. The race consciousness that have been perpetrated on not only African-American people here, not only us, but throughout the world. The Caucasian is favored. We know this. But they're not going to change the situation, because this situation favored them. It's to their benefit, and they benefit. So we're not going to get them to cooperate with us. And this is why we see the polarization here in America. Too many of them are benefiting with the status quo. So that's not going to be a lot of help we're going to get from them for us to repair ourselves. So what do you suggest that we do? It's not up to what they're doing. It's up to what we would decide to do. So what are some of your suggestions that we do right here starting today?
Well, one suggestion I think we should do and probably can help us is that stop thinking they can help us. We need to stop thinking that they are our savior. We need to stop that.
I agree.
We need to just stop it. We need to just stop it. Just plain stop it. They're not our savior. And we need they're not our savior in any form. Not our savior in medicine, in education, in wearing clothes, in eating food. They're not our savior. We must stop that kind of thought. No matter if we got a savior up on the wall and he's European, we need to tear down. We need to stop this thinking that the European is our savior. And what happens in the mind when we use that word white, savior comes up. This is one of the reasons we have to stop using the word white, because savior is connected with white. They got it connected with Jesus. They have it connected with God, and they have it connected with savior when you say white. So we have to break that tie completely. We got the what they call cold turkey. That's what we got to do. We got the cold turkey. This thing, we have to stop using white as we refer to people. We have to stop it. Then that old concept of them being our savior starts to get weaker and weaker in our thinking. Then we could talk to each other and come up with solutions that we find that benefit us. See, we got to take it's baby steps. This is not something going to happen overnight. This is not a snap of the finger kind of thing. We didn't get to this point just like, we took a plane here and there, so we in it. No, this thing took generations to get us in this frame of thought. It took our parents and our parents. And you know something else, speaking about our parents? You know that our great-grandparents found out that it was two situations. They found out that if they can get away from thinking that the European is their savior, they can make more progress. The first thing that happened was in the Sea Islands when the European had his rice farm. And those rice farms, he would get the Africans, they had different tribes he would bring in to grow rice. And something happened every year. From June to October, their malaria season and yellow fever season took place. And that disease was carried by mosquitoes. Now, Africans had already been immune to malaria because they came from a country where they had developed within their own genetic makeup the sickle cell. The sickle cell is the cell that kills malaria. It takes the malaria germ out through the spleen and destroys the person to end up with a cold or something. Nothing won't have to die. But the Africans who came over here, they had the sickle cell in their blood. So they wouldn't get sick during that time. So the European who would get sick in order to save his life and his family, he had to move further north. So during that six months, he would move up further out of the Sea Islands into Charleston and up a little higher where that wasn't an epidemic. And during that time, the Africans basically were left alone. And in that time period, they developed the language. They developed the basis of a culture. You ever heard of the language Geechee, Gullah Geechee?
Yeah, right.
That's when they developed that. That's not the Creole. Creole is French. They gentlemen tell us that Creole. That's not Creole. That's African Americans developed that language right here in America. They're teaching it right now in Harvard Cultural School. They teach it in what they call the Black History Cultures. They teach that language right now, and it's deemed as a legitimate language. Not a slang of America or English or any other language, because there's too many words and patterns in that language that sets it separate from other languages. I was talking with a friend of mine, and they were saying, "Man, you fitting to get in trouble." We were just talking. Now this way up in Chicago, but our people use the word "fitting" and not realizing that comes from the Gullah Geechee language. And they got it from the Arabic. They translated from the 15 to 30% of them was Arabic or Muslim. And in Arabic, the word fitna comes from the Quran, means trouble. Right. And we use it right now. You go to a different part of the country, you hear African Americans talk about fitna. They don't know where it comes from.
Black people always use that word. Exactly, sure.
They don't know where it comes from. You come from the South. Our people was part of the language. See, we have to, and that's one thing he said we could tell the young people, we can start teaching our language. We need to start teaching our language all over America. We fortunately, we have a group of people who down there in the Sea Islands who held on to the language and held on to many of the cultures, cultural ways. We need to start bringing this thing all across America to let our young folks know that the only language they have to speak is not English. They can speak their own language if they want to. And their own language, they have meanings and all of these things. But that's just one aspect. The other aspect I took the time I was going to say, but the other thing took place when in 1896, when they deemed that segregation was legal. They didn't have what that segregation in America. When they deemed it was legal, when an act took place on a car, a railroad car, telling an African American that he could not sit in the front of the car because they wanted to keep it separate. They wanted to keep the European American in the front and the Africans in the back. That brought about the concept of separate but equal. And what happened, segregation started all over America. And in that time of segregation, in 36 years, African Americans built Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They built Black Metropolis in Chicago, Illinois. They built Durham Street in North Carolina was a Black Metropolis. Richmond was a Black Metropolis. They had Black Metropolis all over America in just 36 years because they was off to themselves. The Europeans segregated them from the mainstream of Europe. And what it was beneficial for us, but they didn't intend for it to happen. It was inadvertent kind of benefit. Yes. But that was just to make two points that I was trying to make, that see what happens if we don't depend and don't believe that the European is our savior. If we can get that thinking out of our mind, we can make progress right in the midst of European people, because we're not thinking of them as being white anymore. We think of them being European. European Americans. So we think about them differently, we respond to them differently, and we respond to ourselves and each other differently because of our mindset. So that's just one aspect I was thinking to answer that question that you asked me, brother, about the what is it that we can do like right now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I certainly appreciate that. And in order to change a person's mindset, and this is where the problem is, The mind is the decision maker. It makes all our decisions, even though the brain is the command center. So this is where the problem lies. As long as
remember now, we have a will. The will is the one that controls. The will controls everything else. If anything wants to go one way, the will and the mind says, I don't want to do it. It won't get done. I don't want to eat. It won't eat. I want to eat. It's going to eat. Whatever the will does. See, so the will is a controlling factor there. Even though we have other aspects, and they got to work in harmony, guys. I think that's what you're saying.
I definitely agree with that. What produces the will? What makes the person determined? It's too many of our people give up because they don't have a will. They're not determined.
Right.
They give up. So,
right.
But still, even that is a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is.
Life is about making choices. That's why we're in this mess. We make the wrong choice.
Now, you and I and people like us know what big job we got.
Absolutely. It's a big job.
Yes, yes.
But here's what I wanted to just say about the mind. If the person's brain is congested, the mind is going to also be congested. If the person is not able to produce neurons to think with, it is neurons that operate the brain and the body. They don't know anything about neurons, know very little about neurotransmitter, know very little about how to produce them, know very little about how the brain operate, and know how to remove concretion and all these things from our brain so the brain is not congested, and how to nourish the brain. Well, you can give up on the mind because the mind is going to be just like the brain because it's going to be congested, and the person's not going to make a good decision. And this is our problem.
Yes, sir.
This is our problem. So you're right on it. But the work is cut out for us to do, but it can be done.
Yes, it is.
And I definitely agree. When our people are left alone, that's when we make progress. That's when we do for self.
Absolutely.
John Black is absolutely right. Do for self.
Yes, sir.
Stop depending on other people to save you. Nobody's going to save you. The Almighty gave you a brain, gave you intellect, and it's going to be up to you to do what you need to do to figure it out.
Absolutely.
So I just want to add that to it, but I totally agree with you. You are.
Okay, we have a hand raised here, so this was the purpose of our show, the science. See, this is a science, and this health is, if you don't have good physical health, you're not going to have good mental health like Abdul-Shaheed was talking about. But more importantly, this is the science of you and the information that you're sharing. I mean, I know you're trying to get it all out in a short period of time. I know good and well that it's important. But the layout that you're showing us right now, these strategies that's going to have to be put in place, we're going to have to do this in one shape, form, or fashion. So let me get the other person who's on the line at this moment, because these strategies for success are truly something that we're going to have to do. And it's the purpose of being here today. We appreciate you, and we thank you for being on the line today. So we have someone who's calling us at 314. 971, please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Good afternoon. Good evening. This is Roz Norman calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
And calling because as you all were talking, I'm thinking, there's a quote that I use when I'm working with our children, young people, and family members within the community, and that is, that to develop a complete mind, study the science of art. Study the art of science. Learn how to see. Realize that everything connects to everything else. And that quote really is from Leonardo da Vinci, who to me was the epitome of what I call STEAM, what we refer to as science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, and what I do in working with young people. But I think that it does tie us back to, interestingly, what Milana Karanga referred to as the Afrocentric viewpoint, and that is that everything is interconnected. So when you start thinking about how are we to reach our children, our young people, our families, our community, then my question for us to just think about is we strategize, and that is the role of interpreting the images and messages that's out in media. And when I say media, I'm talking about at the broadest level, because whatever we see it imprints on our mind and our spirit. And how that is interpreted, that's part of the strategy, I think, and the way in which I like to deal with trying to help our kids to read between the lines and learn to think for themselves is to get to the point where they start connecting the dots, start making those connections. And I do agree with you. We have accomplished more without falling into that trap of having a white savior or feeling that, you know, we have to have somebody from outside to come in when we have all of that already in ourselves. We just need to tap into that some kind of way, find a way to counter all the negativity is out there and tap into what all we have that's within us that is powerful and positive. So I just want to share that with you all. And I think Rashid and I just talked recently about another quote that I ran across in talking with Mexican-American associate advisor. And she said, you know, in Spanish, I'll give you the English, though. She said, you know, they tried to bury us. They did not know we were seeds. And I think that's another piece of why it's so important when we strategize to realize that who we are is very important. And how we go about continuing to pass on that legacy is part of planting those seeds and making sure that we help to nourish those seeds to grow. So that's just my little two cents worth, you all. I just want to share
all
that.
All right. Okay.
Well, thank you, Dr. Roz. I mean, you put the nail on the head.
Yes.
That's the kind of conversation we're going to have. And I think, Brother Abdullah, you had talked about earlier, except, you know, developing some community-based strategies for success that we're going to have to talk about. But let's just stay where we are, because right now where we are is where we need to be. Information that you're sharing with us tonight on what we don't know, and that's important for us to know. And Roz made a beautiful, Dr. Roz made a very beautiful example. You see, you know, they try to bury us, but they didn't realize that, you know, we got roots. We have some roots here, and all we have to do is nurture that, and we can develop it again to do the things and talk about the things that we need to talk about. We do have another hand raised here. We have 618-713. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Henry Muhammad in Carbondale.
Oh, Henry.
How good. Are you, brother?
I'm
a little under the weather here. My voice is a little weak. Did some traveling, and it just didn't agree with me, I guess, over the weekend. But I'm going to ask, you know, just make a point out to a direction that Imam W. Dean Muhammad shared with us over the years, and really actually it was a very early direction. He explained to us very, very wonderfully and clearly that words shape us and form us. Words make people. And the significance of words, which is the good word, as we want to promote the good in the child, you know. So Satan does the opposite. He tells us we're wicked and sinful by nature. You see, he gives us those words. That's the Trinity. The Trinitarian doctrine, which everybody's under that influence in the country and the world, pretty much. Most people believe that they're sinful by nature. So when a child takes that concept in, the child is already thinking that there's something wrong with their humanity. Well, Allah tells us, God tells us in the Quran, the Bible, and Torah, and in our own selves, in our very human identity and our nature, the way we operate as human beings, God shows us that he made us in the best form, the human form. So when I talk to youngsters, I like to start right around in that area. you know, because I tell them, think about how your heart has been beating for your whole life, and look at the good job that it does for you. It pushes the blood all around to different parts of your body, and it takes, you know, I tell them about the oxygen that is being carried by the blood, and how the blood also takes out the poisons, the carbon dioxide, and pushes it out. I say, well, see, look how you think God is mad with you? God is not angry with you. Look how he made your heart. Your heart does such a good job. Keeps you alive. And then 9 times out of 10, matter of fact, I'm going to go so far as to say 100% of the time, that child says, yes, my heart is good. Okay, now we cook.
You see?
So that child is accepting something about themselves that's good, you know. And as we, you know, we can pick any part of the human body, because each part of the human body does something, a wonderful job for the whole of the body, the whole of the human body, you know. And once children begin to see that they're not inferior by nature, that their hair is good, that their skin is good, that their human form is good, then they have a better appreciation. Now, the next thing is telling, well, you know, we didn't make ourselves. God made us like that. God gave us this form. God gave us the way we operate. And in that way, we're giving them spiritual guidance and direction for later days in their lives. I need those small kids, but it works with adults too.
Yes, sir.
You know, and,
yes, sir.
Yeah, it really works well with adults. If the parent is listening and listening in a listening vicinity of when you're talking with the child, this parent to share that information or more information with the child when you are not there, all right, until the child can feed itself.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, we sure appreciate you. And let me say this about Henry. Henry also has a book out, and for those of you who may want to know at some point in time, stay tuned. He has a book out called What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We don't realize that the imagery that Brother Abdullah was talking about earlier about calling somebody white, what kind of image comes back in that child's mind? And we talk about the hippocampus. We talk about the neurons and the transmitters. We have a big job to do, and we don't realize how big this job is. This is a very wholesome and strategic concept that we're going to have to really pay attention to on how to get rid of these harmful psychological associations with images, graven images in religion as well as in all aspects of our life. And I think Brother Abdullah is doing a wonderful job of explaining some of those details to us today. So thank you, Henry. We appreciate you. And we'll be able to promote this book a little bit like we're promoting our good brother here. And your late radio listening audience, this is IWDM Radio, The Science of Health in You. And we have on tap today some excellent, excellent information being delivered to us by the author of The Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. And he's sharing some great information for us tonight. What I do want to do, Brother Shaheed, is Dr. Rod made a good point, and I know you want to respond to that. And Henry made an excellent point, so I know you want to respond to it as well. So once you take a few minutes and do that, then I'm going to take 470-275 right after that. I got you on the board. But why don't we just answer a couple of those questions before we go to the next caller?
Okay. Well, the answer to those questions, because they both really were very similar in a way, because they involved the children. I think the message of today has to come through the adult, because the adult has to turn around and teach the child. You see, there's a key. Children learn from example. I mean, if you don't show the child a good example, either in your own environment or something they can find somewhere else, they don't really learn that behavior. The behavior is to be copied until the person matures to adulthood. Then they can change whatever way they came up as a child. They came up mm-hmm. whatever way they have been thinking. That's what really adult means. Maturity means to be able to control your own thoughts the way you want to control those thoughts. But to get to that point, you need an example. And I think the adults have to be more of an example. This is why those who in the religion of Islam refer to Prophet Muhammad so much, because he was an exemplary. He was an example of how to follow the Quran. So if you can see something in reality of how to do something that people say you should do, and you see it happening, it's more likely you ought to follow that, or at least have some example right. on how to follow that. So the adults right. have to right. be conscious of the example they must make and not do a lot. And yes, we have to preach to. I was going to say not do a lot of preaching. We still have to preach to the children, but we must make an example for the children of ourselves. We mm-hmm. have to sacrifice ourselves to be what we're talking about. To be what we say should happen, we have to do that. Once they see that, then they see the possibility. They see the greatness. They see the power of mm-hmm. changing from within. But if they don't see right. that and they're just told that, it's mm-hmm. kind of difficult for them to really make a new world. But they can, and I'm not saying they won't be able to. I'm just saying this is the nature of learning. The nature of learning is to follow example. Remember when you was in school, when the teacher would give you hard problems to do? They never just said, go ahead and do the problem. They put a couple examples mm-hmm. on the board.
Right.
They didn't put the whole thing on the board. They don't need the whole thing. You just need a couple examples. Say, that's the formula. So a child needs that. A child needs that example so it can know the formula. What is the formula to life? The child is asking himself. Well, I'm here in the world. Well, what's the formula to this? A young child coming along, what's the formula? Where is it? He has to see it in the parent, or he has to see it in the uncle, has to see it in the grandfather, he has to see it in the mother, he has to see it in the teacher, he has to see it in the businessman, he has to see it in those people who he comes in contact with. We have to make the change. The change yes, has sir. To come from the adult people, has to come from you, has to come from me. We have to be diligent. We have to be on the dot. When we say stop using the word white to refer to people, we must do it. We can't teach children that. We must do it, and they go ask the question, why you call him European American? Then you can tell them. Mm-hmm. I see what you're talking about now. But we have to make the change. We have to make the change from this. The black, you know, they teach us what they call black history. You know why they did that?
Right.
Because they wanted to black out history. They wanted to black out the real history of the African American people. So they taught them this kind of history and called it black history. It was it was a way to keep the African American from really digging into who he is, who he should be, and how he can make himself better. That's why they taught it that way. We have to change that. We can't wait till the European American tell us who we are and what we have done. We have to tell the story. Every story he tells may be a story that's negative. And the more negative you get in the mind, the more negative your self-image is going to be. You're going to have a negative self-image, and you can't get around it. So we have to start teaching the positive aspects of cultural identity. We have to do that. We can't leave it on nobody else. We can't wait till the child grow up to do it. We have to do it now to affect the child's growth. That has to come from us.
Okay. Yes, sir. That's why those who are on the line today, you have to get this book. This book is outstanding. I've read it twice already, and I can't put it down. And I'm just telling everybody about it. Quite frankly, I sold more books before I had the book just because the name was saying so much. Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. And we're having some of that demonstration today. He's given us some of the information about the book so we can have an opportunity to learn a little bit more. This is just a prelude to what's coming.
And, you know, you all know we're talking right in line with our guest host, Abdul-Shaheed. He always talks about the thinking process, how your brain works, how your body works. And I think Henry and Muhammad made a great analysis on that as well, on just identifying certain parts of the body, but also educating people about those parts of the body. So we have 470-275. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is now open.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Amira Wazir from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I am well. There were two subjects that were mentioned I'd like for you all to elaborate on. One from Abdul-Shaheed, the congested brain. So give us information on how do we uncongest that brain. And you talked about the strategies for success. Let's talk about the solutions. Now, we know the history, okay. So let's talk about the solution. So let's talk about that congested brain, what we do, and the strategies for success, please.
Very good. And before you answer that question, let me get this one call. She raised her hand twice, and I keep missing her. I got to bring her online. This is Amina 111111. Your mic is open, Sister Amina. How are you today?
Assalamu alaikum to all of you.
Walaikum assalam, Sister Amina.
Yes, and this is Sister Amina from the Clarkston area. It's still in General Atlanta, too, as well.
Okay. You have a question for us, Amina?
Yes. What I wanted to mention, and I'll hang up and listen, I also would like some solutions as to, you know, we know the issues. Those of us that are conscious and you know we came into the consciousness of what our people are really about, you know, a while ago, and some have stayed on the path. But how do we actually, instead of talking unity, how do we actually be unified? Because that's the issue. And the economic mm-hmm. piece is where we seem to be lacking in the community or mm-hmm. communities. We need to implement it, you know.
Right. Okay.
And just, you know, because we have that income gap that's wide. Even in mm-hmm. our religious communities, it's very, you know, and so how do we get to that? And I'll hang up and listen. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. You know, I think both those questions were right on time. They're kind of interconnected a little bit. So I'm going to let both of you guys take a swing at that one. She had one for Abdul-Shaheed and the other was for my brother, Shaheed Abdullah. So whoever want to go first, you're free.
I'll go first. To deal with, in order to decongest the mind, you must decongest the brain. The brain mm-hmm. and the mind are paired together. The Almighty created everything in pairs. They work together. So if the mind is congested, not able to make good decisions, and we keep making the same mistakes, keep repeating the mistakes of those people before us, and that is the reason. We want to be able to make improvement. We want to be able to make correction. We must correct our mistakes and the mistakes of those people before us. So our brain is the command center of the human body. We have brain cells called neurons. We have neurochemical, neurotransmitters. Those things have to be produced. The neurons are different from our cells. Our cells are able to divide, but our neurons have to be produced. When we eat food that contains poison, concretion, health disruptors, it will prevent neurons from being produced, and we will have old neurons standing in place, just like we have old cells trying to do the work of new cells. They can't do it. So our body is designed in such a way it can be renewed, periodically renewed, everything, including our brain. So the brain has to be decongested. The neurofibrillary plaque has to be removed. The the poison and the toxic that's in our food that we eat, in the air that we breathe, and in the water that we consume. And the way we can decongest our brain is by using subatomic particles. They're called particulates. It produces the electrical energy and the thermal energy to dissolve the concretion, to remove those things from the brain. And the brain will be in a position to produce the neurochemicals, the neurotransmitter, acetylcholine, for thinking. The human being is more than just walking upright. We are controlled by enzymes. We're controlled by hormones. We're controlled by neurochemical, neurotransmitter, and neurons. That's what controls our behavior. We can counsel a person. We can try to teach them. We can do all of these things. If they cannot produce these things I just mentioned, they will not be on the paradigm of normalcy. If the brain is compromised and congested, also the mind would be. The mind is our decision maker. It makes all of our decisions. If we cannot produce neurochemical in the form of at least these three neurochemicals, neurotransmitter, rather, acetylcholine, serotonin, and norepinephrine, we will see the animal instinct come out of us. We often forget that the human being is also an animal. Those things, those neurotransmitters, that's what make us human. In much of the society we see today, we see the animal coming out of the human being because they fail to produce these neurotransmitters. They're not producing them because of how they eat. We have chaotic eating instead of scientific eating. And many of us do not drink the right water. We're drinking tap water. And the air is polluted. We live on planet Earth. Planet Earth is a very predatory place. Brother Shahid Abdullah, he mentioned predators. There are predators everywhere. And there are toxins and poison pollutants everywhere to compromise our health. Our health is directly related to the progress that we are making in the society. So I ended with that. So you decongest the brain, you automatically decongest the mind. Thank you. That's an excellent question. That's where we start.
And thank you so much. You know, this is why we have the science of healthy you. I mean, you're getting a mouthful today, people. I'm telling you right now. You haven't even touched the surface of what we talk about on Tuesday. You haven't even gotten into the details of how the human body works. And we all have to recognize this one thing. We walk around with our bodies 24/7, and you cannot say you know how it works. If you don't know how it works, you should be on this line every Tuesday, have your children on this line every Tuesday, have your grandparents, your uncles and aunts and cousins and nieces and nephews on this line every Tuesday, because we don't know this. And if we don't know this, how are we planning to change it? So we can't do that without having that proper information. So we welcome you and thank you for showing up tonight. And we ask that you come back every single Tuesday at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, and 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I just had to get that plug in there real quick. So go ahead, Brother Brother Abdullah. You have an opportunity to answer, I think that's Amina's question about getting some solutions.
Well,
I think I started off the program.
I think two sisters asked two questions.
Yeah, they did.
I think two sisters asked two questions.
Yeah, they're interrelated. So handle your business, my brother.
Okay. The base of the strategy of success tied to my book, Unleash the Power of Your Industrious Nature and Achieve Your Dreams. Success is automatic. You see,
Right.
A strategy of success is a process that is almost automatically set up for us. The no matter what book we read, whether we read the Bible or we read the Torah or we read the Quran, I'm not that in depth with the Buddhist aspect of it, but in most books, there's no way I can find, whether it be in a paragraph form, letter form, or sentence form, where it says the Creator, God, Allah, whichever one they go by, created man to fail. I can't find nothing that suggests that the Creator created man to fail. So then if that's so obvious, that God did not create man to fail, then he had to create man to succeed. In order for man to succeed, he gives us a command. Unleash the power of the industrious nature and achieve your dreams. See, he put our nature together. He put our brain together. He put all of this. He created all of this in us to work, to operate. Operate automatically as long as we stay on track. Now, I know some may say, what's that track or what's not that track? I'm not going to really go into who has the right answer and who has the wrong answer for all of that. But what I'm looking at here is the obvious. The obvious is that man was created to succeed. Our success is directly related to our own intent to succeed, especially if we're free. Once a human being is free, his success is in his hand, whether he believes it or not. It's in his hands. It was every child should believe this too, especially nowadays since we have a greater degree of freedom than we did before, because most of us who know what if you look at the health issue, for example, is a healthy slave better than a unhealthy slave? Then who is he healthy for and who is he unhealthy for? His slave master. See, it relates to the slave master. See, so, and if you look at the word slave, and if you take out the L in slave, you have the word save. So freedom is what saves man. Freedom of thought, freedom of behavior, freedom of growth. It saves man. Man is enslaved to somebody if he's not free. If he's not free, he's enslaved. Then that L is in there. If he's not free, he can't save himself. He can't save anything. He's a slave. So we must look at all of this in terms of being successful individually, being successful as a group, being successful as a people. We must look at it in direct relations to freedom and our will to achieve the goals and objectives we set out to do. We have to look at it like that. We have to be that convinced about our success. We can't let our success just happen to us. We have to make it happen. We can't let it just stand and wait till success come. We have to bring it. We have to make it. We have to bring it out the ground, bring it out the earth.
Come on.
That's what we have to do. We can't just stand and wait. Well, how can we be successful? We must be successful. We got to think successful. We have to first think free. We have to know we're not a slave. Well, we're not a slave. Yes, you are. We are a slave as long as we are subservient to the thoughts and ideas of this culture. This culture that's set up by the European American is designed to make the African American an entertainer and a servant. Nothing beyond that. Entertainer and serve him in becoming a board member of his corporation or chairman of board of his corporation, run his businesses. This is what he create this culture does to the to the African American. African American must free himself from that thinking and build our own corporate structures and produce from the earth the same thing the European and all other people produce from the earth. We have to think like that to be free. We're not free until we really believe that and really do that. And success is automatic.
All right.
I believe that God created man to be successful, and I will believe that till I pass. I believe that. I have no other thought than that. I don't believe God created man to fail. And anybody walking around talking about they have been created to fail, they missed the boat. They have missed the boat. And they missed the boat because of something else happened to them in their life. Maybe not their fault, but something happened. And if they could have caught hold to it or catch hold there, that's not too late. I remember the story of Grandma Moses. She was 78 years old, became a world-class painter, world-class master of painting at 78. And you know this chicken everybody's eating, you know, they call it Kentucky Fried Chicken in some parts of the country and other kinds of.
Yes, sir.
He was 76, 78. He was retiring, 68 years old. He was retired and couldn't make enough money, so he created that Kentucky Fried Chicken. We can't think in terms of failure. We cannot think in terms of failure. You want to know the strategy? The strategy is looking in the mirror. Look in the mirror, and if you look in that mirror long enough, you're going to see your mother in that mirror. You're going to see your father in that mirror. And you're going to see all of the African Americans who came before you in that mirror. And these are the same African Americans who built Black Wall Street, They built Black Metropolis in Chicago. They built all those big things in the different parts of the country. They're the same one. The same blood that's coursing through your veins was coursing through their veins. And the same spirit they use to develop, that same spirit is in you. You have to believe that and do it.
All right. Okay. Now, I'd like for those who are on the line to do me a favor. Those of you who have pressed 1 on your phone to come online, could you please press 1 so you can get out of the queue so I can make sure that I have hands that are raised who have a question. So we have 618-713. If you can you can push 1 on your phone unless you have another question. 470-275, please push 1. Mina, could you press 1 on your phone? And we have 2 other phone calls here that have raised their hand, and I want to make sure you get your questions in. I mean, this is a wonderful show. I'm getting really excited, guys. I wish I could take another 2 hours to do this, but I know I can't do it. But let's get a couple more questions answered here before we begin to close down and get some of the pertinent information that's necessary to achieve the books that we have on the line. We have 423-314. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is currently open.
This is the man behind us from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I do not want to ask a question. I just want to give a comment. Time is too short. You need to be on again. I'm enjoying this tremendously. I'll praise you, Almighty God, that we have these brothers that are so knowledgeable to bring this to us. I really appreciate it. Please have them come again because I've been writing notes. I can't write fast enough, so please have a good day. Have a blessed rest of your day. Shalom aleikum.
Thank you so much. And for those of you who got push 1 on your phone, Jemana, if you don't mind, I appreciate it. For those of you who got a link from me via email or text, there is a internet code at the bottom of your email. If you click on that internet code within 24 hours, you'll be able to hear this show all over again. So sometimes I can't take notes quick enough myself, Jemana. I know what you mean by keep forgetting that it is recorded. Everything that you hear today is all recorded. You can go in and get that information, or you can go on IWJ Radio, Science of Health in You, and you'll be able to pull up this particular day for this particular show. So I know a lot of you may want to hear it. You may not have any questions right now, but you may want to go back and take a listen and just, you know, really fulfill some of the thoughts that you had in your mind today. But we do know one thing, and that is we have excellent information being transported tonight. We have a couple more hands raised here. We want to make sure we get those hands taken care of. So we have 618-713. I think that's a new number. Is that 618-713? Your mic is open. Did you have another question? Okay. Could you push 1 on your phone, please, and we'll make sure that we get you out of the queue. Roslyn, I think your mic is still open. Do you have a question that you want to ask, 314-971?
No, I'm listening at this point. Thank you.
Let's push 1 on your phone, and your hand will drop off the queue so I can know who is out here. We have our public service announcer on the phone. So we got to make sure I know he has a question he want to ask today. That's 314-833. Mark Shaheed, how are you, sir?
Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to your very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Shaheed Abdullah, and to the IWDM radio listening audience, Mark Shaheed from the STL, the gateway city of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I want to thank you, Rashid Salam, for inviting Imam Shaheed Abdullah, and just want to commend you, Imam Shaheed Abdullah, as the young people say, you're on fire tonight in terms of all the substantive information that you're bringing. And, you know, one of the last things that you said is so very, very true. And I know you're very, very, very learned in the Quran, and you gave it to the people in terms of slave and save. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, God the Most High, would not tell you in revelation and revealing to the human being to save yourself and to save your family. this goes in consort with saving the culture, you understand, that is the life of the people, if you didn't have the ability nor the capacity to be able to do that. And also in the Quran, Al-Shams, the sun, where Allah addresses the soul once again in terms of the one that succeeds. And I say soul seed, not succeed, but the soul seed is the one that purifies and cultivates the soul, and the one that fails is the one who neglects and corrupts the soul. But it's impossible for the soul to succeed with the intellect not being able to succeed. So you're right on point in terms of the free dome that it is, that's the inheritance of all people. And this includes the African-American people. This is very important. So your message tonight is really resonating with me. I don't really have a question because you're giving the necessary information for us to be a successful people. And so with that, I'm going to stop right there and continue to listen to you. And I'm taking notes the way Mark Shaheed take notes. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you. You know, we're winding down here. We still have some time left. We want to make the best of it. We wanted to give Abdul Shaheed an opportunity. It's my co-host. I know we talked about this earlier today on the importance of mental health. And we know, and I think he's done a wonderful job, you know, interceding and letting us know about the thinking process, the mind, and some of the nutritional things and the value of studying our human cells. You know, we always talk about on our show that our body consists of 200 cell types. That's amazing. Every time I see that, it just blows my mind. Our body has 200 different cell types and 11 systems that make up this human anatomy. And it has to integrate and intermingle together, and the functionality of it. And I think both of you guys have done a wonderful job on, if you don't think right, you can't be right. You know, and if you're not thinking right, you surely can't function right. And so I just want to just give you an opportunity to kind of just, I don't say wind down, because I don't want you to wind down, but, you know, we do have a listening audience here. We do have a few minutes to go, but life is short. You know, and we got to break our silly egos. We got to learn how to forgive quickly, believe slowly, love freely, smile, and never run out of the opportunity to take advantage of a smile when it comes. So we got to understand how positive we have to make ourselves in our thinking process. But you can't think positive if you don't feel good. If you're not eating the right food, you know, you just don't feel good. And these people are telling us, genetically altered seeds, our bodies cannot consume them. We got to pay attention to what's happening because we're enslaved financially, politically, educationally, culturally, you know, our agriculture situation is in dire straits. We have a lot of work to do, and I think you guys have made a wonderful analysis today on that. And I just want to shut up. I just had to get that out of my system because I'm just jumping up and down in my seat, and I can't sit here for too much longer without saying something. But Brother Abdullah, I'm not going to ask you a question. I just want to ask you to close down and prepare yourself for what you want to close us out with. Share us with us how people to reach you about your book. Share with us about some of the strategies that you have and some of the programs that you want to implement and begin to implement locally. We have people from all over the country on the phone today, and we want you to just kind of wind down a little bit. Before you do that, we do have one hand that's raised here. That hand is 918-814. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is currently open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
This is Sister. Thank you, sir, for the prayer, sir. This is Sister Rahima from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm in Baltimore right now, and my question is, what kinds of foods help to build up the neurotransmitter? I don't know if you mentioned that or not. I didn't hear it. I went off to make prayer for a minute, so.
Okay.
Yeah, are there specific foods that will help to boost the neurotransmitters so we can get this brain straight?
You know, I think Abdul Shaheed's going to probably
you know, shorten that question and tell you another way to get that information. Because, Brother Sheik, why don't you just address that, because she made a good point, and others on the line may want to know that answer as well. So if you can share with her real quickly before Brother Abdullah began to close down.
Yeah, just quickly, well, we have to remember, you know, sometimes it enforces scientific living, scientific cooking, and scientific eating to prevent diseases. Now, once you have activated disease, food is not going to cure it, pharmaceutical drugs are not going to cure it, and surely herbs are not going to cure it. This is what we must know. And what we must also know is that the human body is high maintenance. The human being is high maintenance. We've been misled to think that it's low maintenance. We must always be removing garbage, concretion, calculus, calcification, neurofibrillary plaque from our body all the time. All the time, because we eat food. We produce energy. Always something is left behind, remaining. Something's always left behind. So the only way that we can clear these things up once we have a disease is to use subatomic particles and nourish our cells with dehydrated nutrients and lipid molecules. This is it. But there are food that have the least amount of health disruptors. So food in terms of starchy food, or farina, couscous, long grain white basmati rice, pasta, egg-free pasta. Avoid eating eggs. Those are some starchy foods. Yam from Ghana yam, Korea yam, plantain, cooked plantain, boiled plantain. Those are some starchy food. We need to eat more protein than starch. Starch, another name for starch is cellulose. That's what plants are. The foundation is cellulose. The foundation for a human being is collagen. That's protein. So we should eat more of what we're made of, protein. Everything about the human being, the DNA, the RNAs, the genes, the chromosome, are protein units. So in terms of the meats that we should eat, lamb, goat, bison, those are the best meat because they contain hem iron, H-E-M-E, hem iron. Our brain needs iron and sulfur to sustain oxygen in the brain, to sustain oxygen. Even though oxygen is the life giver, it sustains life, but sulfur and iron sustain the oxygen. So you fill in the blank. So that's really all we're going to have time for, because we want Brother Imam Shahid Abdullah to share his information. But you'll be listening to us next week, and we'll
bring that out
even further. And you have the opportunity to make sure you're gonna get phone numbers where you're gonna have an opportunity to get more information from him, and as well as website information too. So we'll make sure you get that right. And thank you for calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Thank you.
The brother on the phone, he did a beautiful story within his book on Tulsa. So you may want to make sure you get this book and contact him, because Tulsa is one of his main characters, and I love the way he explains that to us. So thank you for calling. Push one on your phone if you don't mind. And we're gonna take 718-344. Let me do this now. I want you guys to know that we're getting short on time. So if you have a question, you know, we want to make sure you call up and you succeed with your question. But the most important thing is you want to make sure you get the answers that you're calling in for. So please raise your hand now. If you want to ask a question, press 1 on your phone and your hand will show up on the queue, and I'll be able to get that question in. So we have 718-344. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Haji Lala, Fort Valley, Georgia. I'd like to have that I can hear the playback.
Yes, ma'am.
I text, but I don't
know
the number.
Yeah.
I'll make sure you get that link. I think you received my link by email, didn't you, or by text? Yep, no
text.
Problem. You have that link right at the bottom of that link that I sent you. Tomorrow, give you 24 hours, it'll be uploaded, and you can listen again. If you have the opportunity, you want to get some more information, I wish that he would give you his phone number. And I know everybody on the phone should be calling Brother Abdullah about getting this book, or calling one of us to make sure you get this book. So we're going to leave with that. Any other question you may have?
No, sir. Thank you much.
Okay. Thank you now. Thanks
for
calling.
Sister Lala. She's already have my number, brother.
Oh, she does? Okay, good deal. We're in good shape. I forgot she calls from Georgia. You know, got Georgia on my mind.
Right down the highway
for me. Okay. All right, my brother. We have no other hands raised at this time. Wait just 1 minute. I think we have one here. That is 314-971. You okay, right? All right. She's still listening. Very good. Okay. The floor is yours, my good brother.
Okay. You saying my mic is back on?
Yes, sir. You can shape and form it however you want to, and you can just close it down, and give us the pertinent information.
Yeah, I just want to just pretty much close out what we've sum up, pretty much what talked about this evening, and make just a few in terms of how we have a lot of times those of us who are present. And who are present in this time, have been prepared for the time. See, I just want us to really take in full volume, full scope, the fact that every generation breeds the next generation. Culture is designed to do that. Those of us who are present from leaderships of the past, if we go back to Marcus Garvey, all the way up, you go to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Rafi Muhammad, if whatever avenue you're taking, the Morris, if you come up through the Morris Avenue, whatever avenue, the Bill Black Wall Street Avenue, we have been prepared for the today to help build the future. We are prepared for this. We are prepared for this. We may not know it because we haven't been told it, because the outer culture, the European culture, doesn't tell us these kinds of things. They don't want us to really do what they are doing. And that's all we want to do. We don't want to do anything particular other than what the Chinatown is doing, what the other cultures are doing, what the European is doing, what the Little Italy is doing. We over here in Jersey, we have this area called Island. The whole town of Island has now been taken and developed into what we call a primarily Pakistani community. And that's not wrong. That is good. That's what America is for. America is to build everything in America. The names New York comes of a king, a Dutch prince, York, Prince of York, and then the New York, Manhattan, all these names are names that people have given to this part of the earth that they want to build something on. So we have to think in the terms of that. That's all that's happening. We're not interested in trying to make anybody do anything for us. We're interested in doing it for ourselves. We're interested in building this thing for ourselves. I don't use the term unity much because I don't really believe in unity. I believe that working together, collaboration, is the best form of progress. I think this concept that unity is usually given to people who don't work together, people who don't stretch out and do together. So people feed them these words that don't really hold water, but they sound good. But what really holds water is collaboration. We must begin to collaborate with one another. We must begin to develop one another to our fullness. And in my books, now, this is what I practice. This is what I write about. This is what each book is designed to promote the Evolution of the African American Culture, each book. And that's what I've been designed to do, really. But I've listened to Imam Mufti Muhammad, and that, to me, what he's been saying. He didn't tell us to stand still. He was telling us that we have to build a future. He used powerful words like remake the world. I mean, if you say remake the world, and you don't think that means doing something, I don't know how that's beyond me. When he said that, I said, okay, let's go to work. That's the way it seems to me. It seems like that to me. So I've written these books to bring out the importance of the African-American culture, how it evolved, how the schemes were put together to keep us from progress and to abort our culture and to take the rough out of our community. The one that Brother Rashid has been talking about, uncovering the scheme, preventing the evolution of the African-American culture, that's a very powerful book. Everybody should have one on their shelf. You should have The River of Gold. The River of Gold actually leads into the Uncovering the Scheme, because The River of Gold is a time in history where African-Americans came together and developed this great economy in America. And then also the book Spirit of Bilal, that's the one that talked about, a brother mentioned, Imam Mufti Muhammad, you mentioned our community, you mentioned the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, all of those things. That particular book shows how the African-American people came into a concept of religion in America, which is very important, because culture also has the aspect of having a religion, a religious concept, not necessarily making a new religion, but have their own concept. And the concept that was developed in America by the African-American people, especially that was exemplified by Imam Mufti Muhammad, is a new concept of the same religion. It's not a new religion. It's a concept of how you see man means mind, things of that nature. The other aspects, how the angelic power is actually talking about the execution of the creation by Allah and his commandment. See, so all of these things are sort of new and gives us a fullness as a culture. We become a viable culture, and we must not let the world try to tell us we're not. They just have to move over. We just have to tell them, move over. We have to nudge the world over. We are culture. We're coming on the world seen as a culture. We have a religion. We have I don't mean just one religion. We have our views on different religions, Christianity, Judaism. We have a view. This is our people. We think like this. We have a way of life. We have a language. And all of these things are important to our development. We have a tremendous history that shows all of the aspects of the African-American community. And the other book that sister asked a question about, Strategy of Success, that explains Strategy of Success. That book is Success is Automatic, Unleash the Power of the Industrious Nature. All my books can be bought on Amazon. Go to Amazon and you put in any of those books and they come up and you can purchase them. And if you want to get an autographed copy from me, you can contact me directly by phone at 908-296-2558 or my email address, Shahid, Abdullah, 2000@yahoo.com. You can reach me at any of those avenues, and I'll be able to get work to you. And of course, you can reach Brother Rashid and the station here, and they have all the aspects to how you can get to all of these books and have them for yourself, have your own library. And I have another book that I sell and show, because this book was hidden from the African-American community for over 50 years. It was a book that was written in 1932. It showed what we talked about, all of the development of the African-American community. This book showed that. It was done by a Jewish company called Zeph Company, and it was hidden. And by chance, well, I don't call it chance, by Allah's permission, it got to me through a relative of mine, and I'm able to produce it, reproduce it, and you also can get that book. You just ask for it. It's called Negro Market. That's what it's called The Negro Market. You can ask Brother Rashid about it, or you can ask me directly, and you're going to be amazed at all the things they knew about us all the time and was not teaching in the school. So I thank you so very much for having me to come on your show, and wonderful show, in fact.
Yes,
it's exciting. Got me ready to write another book.
Well, we want to thank you, and myself, and it's just exciting because it drives us to where we already have gone. It drives us to things that we want to talk about. It drives us to understand itself, you know, and that's what it's all about, the science. This thing is a science. Everything about what you talked about was a science. The health and your own ability to think and reason and perceive, you know, these things are so important to us, and we just want to give our audience a little flavor every now and then, because Abdul Shaheed could be pretty rough on us sometimes. He be laying it down, you know.
So absolutely.
We got to get a slight break, and you honored us today with that slight break, and I'm sure he enjoyed the
absolutely.
Show as well.
We
so,
needed a break.
Yes. So we want to thank you so much. And the door is wide open. If you want to come back and share some more information, feel free. Just contact either one of us, and we'll be happy to have you back on. I'm sure the radio listening audience really, truly enjoyed tonight's show, and I'm sure they want to hear more about this. So buy that book. I'm telling you guys, it is a gift. It is a gift from the Creator. This is what we need. You may know a lot of stuff we talked about, but you never had it condensed to the point where you can really understand it succinctly that will benefit you and your family, and more importantly, benefit our children. That's the most important thing. So, Abdul Shaheed, I'll let you go do the rest, my man. We appreciate you, too, you know, and I know you feel like you got a little break tonight, but you don't get no break. You had a chance to do what you had to do anyway. So go ahead and share with us.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to continue to share this information of Optimal Health. And we'd like to encourage people to tune in to AM 360 on tomorrow from 12 noon to 1 p.m. We're going to be sharing more information about health and optimal health and where health comes from. Just dial in by using one or two these two numbers at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Again, 515-605-9891. Or 425-292-4253. And that's tomorrow, Wednesday, from 12 noon to 1 p.m., Optimal Health on AM 360. And please, we'd like to invite you to visit this website. This is the website for the American School of Centometry, not-for-profit. It is amsos.org, amsos.org. And on that website, you'll find many articles related to health. I'm sure you'll find your condition there and explain what mistakes that were made and what need to be corrected. Please go there. Check it out. If you have a need to contact us, please feel free to call us at 678-572-7269. That number again is 678-572-7269. By email, ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And Shaheed is spelled S-H-A-H-E-E-D. I think that's about it, Brother Rashid. We certainly appreciate you hosting and engineering the program tonight. You did an excellent job. And we definitely thank our guest, Imam Rashid Abdullah, for sharing with us tonight as well. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. You know, and I'll be on the show tomorrow, so I never get enough, you know, especially when it comes to healthcare. You know, I work for my grandchildren, people. I'm telling you right, I keep telling you that. I love my grandbabies. I love my children. I want to make sure that this legacy continues. We can provide them with information so we can do what Brother Shaheed Abdullah was telling us about. We have to change ourselves. If I don't change, they won't change. So I do my best to get as much information as I possibly can so I can share with my children, my grandchildren, and friends and relatives that I know. They all have benefited by the work that Abdul Shaheed has done on our show. We have people on the Internet who may not be able to ask a question, but we full. We had quite a few people today, and we just thank you for showing up, because without you, we wouldn't be here today. So we want to make sure that you understand that IWDM Radio, as well as AM360, offers wonderful programming, information that we can use, and that's why I like to look at it, news you can use. It's no sense of talking about stuff you can't use it.
And I think Abdul Shaheed would love me saying this. Whatever you hear today, apply it. It's all right to listen and hear, but if you don't apply it, it doesn't do you any good. It's just like Shaheed Abdullah said, you know, hey, we got to get busy. Quit acting like something. Let's start doing like we're supposed to be doing. And we're going to be okay. It may not happen in some of our lifetime, but you know what? You have a piece of that puzzle you can put together, you can take to the good Lord when he asks you that question. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with it? I want to make sure I have something good to say. So with that, I want to let everyone know that IWD Radio has other programs that come on the air on Tuesdays. We have the Science of Health and You. We have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. So we're going to have our public service announcement. Come on and kind of close us down and give us the information that we need on what's happening. And Mark, as quickly as you possibly can you lay it out for us? We have our public service announcer, Mark Shaheed.
Yes, once again, assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to your very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Shaheed Abdullah, and Instructor Abdul Shaheed, and to the radio listening audience. The beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow, Wednesday, will be the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudin, and yours truly, hosting, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we own an outstanding publication and that is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. So please tune in. Following that would be the MGM Roundtable, and that begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, at 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we will have as our very special guest Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, the National Convener of Imams, will be getting an update on the conveners, the sectional conveners, and what it is they're doing. So please tune in for that. And then Thursday, it's the Sister Learning Lab. That's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewels of South, the ATL, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDN Radio. And it will be part two on polygyny based on the four R's from the Word of Revelation. So you don't want to miss that. And then Friday is Salat to Jumu'ah Day here on IWDN Radio with Imam Mikhail Fahir. Salat to Jumu'ah, and that's each and every Friday that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production that we have on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Once again, Imam Mikhail Sahir, and that's each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People. And then we are back to where we are today, the beginning of the week. Once again, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, as off-returning guest, Abdul Shaheed. And special guest tonight, Imam Shaheed Abdullah. So, once again, this salam is for you and yours. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you, my good brother. So, we want to sit down tonight with our favorite song. Wake up, everybody. It's time to think a new way. Maybe your children will listen to what you got to say. So I'll let Harold Miller propose it out for you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.